The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
As college students head back to campuses across America, many of us who made that same journey in the past can recall the wonder and maybe even the excitement of heading into the classroom for the first time as we begin a new chapter in our education. But today, thanks to technology, learning for many students no longer necessarily requires a trudge across campus. Online learning is beginning to augment the physical classroom with a more virtual experience. On this edition of UWM Today, we talk about the new ways that many college students are going to be getting their degrees. Joining us in the studio today is Laura Pedrick. Laura is a special assistant to the Provost for Strategic Initiatives, and she also is the executive director of UWM's Online Learning. And also with us today, Diane Reddy, a professor of psychology and the director of the UPACE Student Learning and Instructor Training, and recently appointed director of the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning at the university. Ladies, welcome to both of you. And it is a new day in education because, boy, if you don't have that computer when you pack up and leave home and head into the college campus, you're not going to have a very good experience, are you?
No. Thanks, Tom. Thanks so much for having us here today. We're delighted to be here. And I'd like to just jump off on your comment about what is different today. And it isn't just for the students who take only online classes, although there are many of those, and that number is growing all the time. Today, a student who comes to campus will expect that there is a pretty rich virtual environment to sort of serve almost like a bank account for their learning. So we have a learning management system at UWM. It's called Desire to Learn, or D2L for short. And pretty much for every course on campus, there's a D2L website. Students log in, and what they'll typically see, even for a face-to-face course, they'll see an instructor syllabus. They might see some classroom policies, the dates of key assignments and exams. And then if it's a blended course or a flipped course room where there's some time on campus and some time spent online, there might also be discussion forums that are turned on in the course site where students can interact with one another and also with the faculty member. And then at the far end of the spectrum, there's the fully online course, and that is really the traditional classroom only adapted for the online environment, and it's not exactly the same as a face-to-face course. A really good online course is not, for example, just a professor going into a TV studio and recording his or her lecture for an hour and then playing it, and so the student sits in her living room and watches it. No, it's designed to be optimal for the format, which means it's, you know, when you think about when you visit a website, what's great about that? Well, there's a lot of interactivity. There are things that you can do on the website that lead to you being more engaged in that content. And so the fully online courses there in D2L have a lot of student-to-student interaction or a lot of faculty interaction. So there's a critically increasing use of technology to enhance learning, and that's happening all over the world.
And one of the things that really amazed me as we began to do some research into online learning is that it is part of the regular routine that many people may have been accustomed to when they went to college, which does also include classroom learning. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to mean I'm either going to be in a classroom and that's all I'll do to get my degree, or I'm going to do it all online. It's usually increasingly something in between, isn't it?
That's right. At UWM, in any given semester, we have about 2,000 students who are exclusively online, taking only online courses. But then we have about another 8,000 or so who combine online and face-to-face classes. And we've done some research on this. We're a research university. We study what we do. And Tanya Justin, our director of e-learning research and development, did this study where she analyzed for traditional-aged students in the College of Letters and Science what was the impact on their time to degree or how long it took them to graduate if they combined online classes with regular face-to-face classes. And not surprisingly, she found that it reduced their time to degree. And again, that's not surprising. If you think about, you know, if you get those hardware stores sometimes put bags in the Sunday paper, you know, whatever you can fit in the bag, you can get a sale price
$10
on.
$10, yeah.
Right. Well, for students who are looking to fit the jigsaw pieces of their schedule together each semester, they're really trying to get everything packed in, as it were. So if you add an online course where there's zero scheduling constraint, it doesn't have to fit in with your Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or your Tuesday, Thursday class. So it, you know, that's helps students get toward degree, and it also helps traditional students fit in jobs, fit in internships, and all sorts of experiences.
Well, speaking about experiences and different ways of learning, we want to bring Diane into the conversation. Diane, you've developed a system that allows students, once they do get to the university, to not only perhaps select a course that is best for them, but select a way of learning that might fit better than the traditional person sitting in the front row with their notebook out or their computer taking notes surrounded by 30 other people. Tell us about it. It's called U-PACE, right?
Yes, the U-PACE instructional approach, and it can be applied in any type of course, which is a good thing. But the students have the freedom and the responsibility to determine when they're going to work on the material during the semester. And so, as Laura was saying, this fits, you know, the student athlete, it fits the student worker, it fits because they do have that flexibility. And that provides them with this sense of control over their learning. Other aspects of the U-PACE approach is that students are required to demonstrate mastery. And this also gives them the sense of control over their learning.
So talk about how that works in terms, I guess maybe the name itself implies how this process works, the U-PACE yourself, right?
Yes, that's right. Students can go as fast as they'd like within the bounds of the semester or as slow as they need within the bounds of the semester. So if something is difficult and they're struggling with something, they can go over that. And if you were in the large face-to-face classroom, you know, the material goes on. But if you're struggling with this, then you can have that pause and work on it. So within that semester, they demonstrate mastery. And they're demonstrating mastery on a series of assessments, quizzes in the U-PACE course, that are aimed at a high level. They're application questions. So they really have to have this deep understanding. And that's really meaningful for the students, too, because they know when they mastered the concepts on that unit that there really is, you know, this sense of achievement and contributing, again, to that sense of control. And to help them reach that mastery level, they also, in the U-PACE approach, get a lot of support. They get the support in the form primarily of very proactive emails that we've called amplified assistance, where the instructors are literally reaching out to the students, all students in the course, to not only help them with the concepts that they're struggling with, but also to provide that key motivational support. So high expectations and support to reach those expectations, and that's created great success.
I can imagine how for a student who may have been sick, just doesn't feel good, in the past might have been sitting in a lecture, and they zone out. And you know, it's, 50 minutes later, well, something happened, but I don't remember a thing. It sounds like this U-PACE program is a way to keep from being left behind when the train leaves the station, right?
That's exactly right. Nobody's left behind, and people can go at their own pace, and they do get the help that they need.
So does this apply to every course at the university? Could you use this self-paced program for soup to nuts when you think about the, 180, 190 programs that we offer?
Well, it could be an option depending upon the specific course or the requirements in it. If you had a studio component, then a U-PACE course, you know, is not the way necessarily to go. But particularly for courses where there is a lot of content, and this would be an excellent approach that a faculty member could use.
Talking about faculty members, how does this change or affect the way that teaching takes place now that you don't necessarily have an instructor showing up on Monday, 9 o'clock, with 50 students or 500 students? They do their thing, and then they're off, and they'll see them a couple days later. It's a very different paradigm with this online learning, isn't it?
And I think that it's consistent with the change in the paradigm also for our face-to-face instruction. I don't think instructors are any longer just deliverers of information. You know, when I first came to UWM, that's how I viewed teaching. You know, I was delivering this information with those countless overheads, but it changed. Now I'm the facilitator of the learning, and it's the exact same thing in the online environment. In a sense, we're a coach shaping the student's success each step of the way, and it's more personalized, which is another, I think, great advantage.
Diane, you've had an opportunity not only to develop that program at UWM, but I understand that you're taking the show on the road. This has become a vehicle for other universities to use in terms of how they teach.
Yes, it's really wonderful that there are now 35 institutions throughout the United States that have adopted the approach. And they're finding similar outcomes, greater learning, greater academic success for their students, and reductions in the achievement gap between students who are at risk for not graduation and students who are not at risk. So all of those things are great.
I want to go back to Laura for a minute and talk a bit about how programs like U-PACE impact the type of student that can come to the university. Does this make it easier for some demographic groups or some types of students, non-traditional learners, for example, to get back and get their degree more easily than in the past?
Absolutely, Tom. So in the state of Wisconsin alone, there are 700,000 adults who have some college but no degree. So those individuals invested time and effort, but they didn't quite, you know, life intervened, and they're out in the workforce, but if they had the higher credential, they would have higher earning power. And there is a tremendous wealth of data that speaks to the step ladder of greater earning power, the higher the degree attainment level of the population. And so when we have course offerings and program offerings in super flexible modes of delivery that aren't place and time dependent, we call those asynchronous modes of delivery, that greatly increases access to higher education, in particular for people who have day jobs, people who have children, who are caring for family members, people who want a program that is uniquely offered at UWM but don't live within driving distance. You know, for example, we have an outstanding online PhD in nursing, and that there's a critical shortage of nursing faculty. And there's going to be an increase with the aging of the population. There's going to be greater and greater demand for nurses. And the Institute of Medicine and disciplinary associations in nursing have made the baccalaureate-trained nurse the gold standard. Well, to do that, you need more nurses in the pipeline, but you also need more nursing faculty in the pipeline. And so our College of Nursing created the online PhD. It's really highly regarded, and they're drawing some students from all over the country. And in fact, there is one student I'm thinking of who is from Minnesota who received her PhD in nursing. And, you know, I've talked with her, and she had just a fabulous experience. She learned how to, in the PhD program, they come to campus for a week to get oriented. They learn how to use all the technology tools, Skyping and so forth. And then they go off, and they're able to fit it into their lives. Crucially, one of the things that research has found is important for online learners is having space in their house to do the work, and having an understanding family is obviously crucial. But these are individuals who previously might not have been able to do this, and having online programs available does absolutely increase access to higher education, really across the whole spectrum, from the two-year colleges all the way through the PhD level.
For some of us who like to be around people, that face-to-face experience, you know, being able to look at you, Diane, or you, Laura, in the eye and have that physical proximity during the learning process is crucial. I know that's how I learn best. How does online learning deal with the separation that occurs in terms of being virtually there but not really there in the classroom?
Well, I think that the instructor has a physical presence in the online classroom. So in my course and in many courses, there is a, you know, they actually do get to see me. There is a video, so they do, you know, and you're talking to them. And there's that interaction between the faculty member and the students.
Because it's real time in many cases, right?
Well, in my course, it's asynchronous, not real time, but in some courses it is. But that interaction that's happening, because there's interaction on a weekly basis, so it's a way of interacting with more students than you would necessarily if you do have that very large class. So there might be five people, you know, if I were teaching 150 students in a classroom where you had like a lot of interaction with. But in the UPACE course, there's literally, you know, that full 150 people that there is a lot of interaction with. And when we've studied this, we've seen that the students start the semester with similar levels of, you know, support from the instructor in the face-to-face course as well as in the UPACE course. But as the semester progresses, they feel this great support. There's this divergence. It increases throughout the semester where it actually declines in the face-to-face course. And I think what's happening is when the students start struggling with the material, they feel alone. But in the UPACE context, they feel like there's somebody by their side. And that's really great.
I have a friend who's taking online courses as she goes back for her graduate degree. And she told me that when she did get together with the classmates, because it was a lot of it was all online, but they did periodically meet throughout the semester physically, she said that she felt she was forming closer friendships or had formed closer relationships with her classmates than she had if she had been sitting amongst them three times a week throughout the semester. Is that surprising?
Not really, because there is something about the anonymity of the discussion board in many online classes where it's a little bit more liberating for students. And I've heard many faculty say that, and there's research to back this up, that students are more open and they talk more expansively in the online. Now, typically in a course that relies on discussion forums, the faculty member will require participation by students, and they'll require it in a kind of consistent way so that everybody isn't just pounding home discussion posts at, you know, 1 minute prior to the end of the day. But so there is really a great deal of sense of community that can develop in a well-designed online class. And Diane is absolutely right. In a traditional classroom, that can seem to a faculty member like there is, particularly a large classroom, where there's a lot of participation. If you were to have a camera on that and analyze it after the fact, you would see, well, there are consistently maybe 12 to 15 students who really, really participate. And there is a cadre of people maybe in the back row who are engaged with their devices. And that doesn't actually happen in the online classroom.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Great to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio, two experts at UWM involved in online education. Laura Pedrick, who's a special assistant to the provost. She leads the UWM online initiative on campus. And Diane Reddy, a professor of psychology at the university, who also is really not only the director, but the creator of something called UPACE, a program that helps students using technology to move at a pace that allows them to be more successful. Diane, are there some students who do better in this UPACE online learning environment than others? Have you been able to see if there's any pocket of people who especially thrive, or does it work, or could it work for almost anybody across the board?
It has actually been shown to work for virtually anybody. And so that's the good news. You know, students who are at risk for not graduating, it works for them. It works for students who are low income, defined as being Pell Grant eligible. It works for students who are academically prepared with low cumulative grade point averages in college. And it also works for students with disabilities. I've had students in the course, somebody who was in a motorcycle accident and actually had head trauma and it was having difficulties with short-term memory. And it worked for him. And that was that component that he could go at his own pace. And this was his introduction back to the university and toward, you know, getting a college degree after this horrific accident. So it's working for, you know, students who are very academically prepared. So it's working for the full range of students. I mean, there are some students, as in any course, you know, who will not be successful. But there is a larger group in the UPACE approach that is being very successful.
Do you ever run into faculty members or others who look at this system of assisted learning who say, you know, come on, you know, toughen up. The real world means sink or swim. You know, you take the class and you either pass or you fail. That's the old way of thinking that I think existed, and certainly in the colleges that I went to years ago. Do you still run into that today?
Well, I think Diane has encountered that in some. She received a Next Generation Learning Challenges grant from EDUCAUSE, which is a national higher ed association funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to disseminate UPACE nationally, and that's where some of the 35 adoptions are from. And it is really true that there is a little bit of a rethinking of the faculty role. It's less about the performance and the performative side of teaching and more about identifying where our students struggling and helping them get over to where they have true mastery. So not to say that, you know, UPACE or online learning is for every student or for every faculty member. Faculty have, you know, the option to design their courses how they see fit. But I would like to just elaborate on one point. Then Diane talked about things that work. We're very proud at UWM to have a large-scale grant from the Institute of Education Sciences, which is a federal program, to do a randomized controlled trial of UPACE, which is really the gold standard of understanding whether something works. It's the same level of rigor that would be applied, for example, in a drug trial. So I don't know, Diane, if you just wanted to mention a little bit about that experiment and that large-scale experiment and what the outcomes are to date.
Sure. What we did is we randomly assigned over 1,900 students to UPACE sections or to comparison sections. And in these comparison sections, they were either online or face-to-face using the same materials. And we also had faculty members teaching all of the instructional conditions, both the UPACE and the comparison conditions. And we did this in multiple disciplines, so there was no self-selection. A lot of times in studies that are comparing different types of approaches, you know, certain types of students are gravitating toward perhaps online courses, or certain students, you know, prefer the face-to-face course. But that isn't the case here. And what we saw was that consistently, semester after semester, across discipline and across institution, with the funding from the Next Generation Learning Challenges program, that UPACE produced superior results, statistically significant findings of greater learning. And this was observed on proctored classrooms. So we randomly selected more than 50% of the students in both the UPACE section and the comparison sections, put them in a proctored classroom, and we gave them these cumulative exams that were measuring core concepts, and they outperformed by a margin of at least 8 percentage points every single time we did this. We've done it now 12 times at least, and there's always been this outcome of greater learning. So the students are really learning the information, and they're more academically successful as well. And there's also indications of improvement in their ability to learn. And we can see this actually recorded in the learning management system itself, where the students actually are acquiring those skills to regulate their own learning.
So that it continues then, their process of really going back and making sure that they absorb the information becomes ingrained in how they learn anything down the road.
That's right. So it has an impact then, and not only the particular course that they're in, but on the other courses that they're taking and on their performance then in subsequent semesters.
You know, as you look at the success, and that's a phenomenal success, 8% improvement is amazing. Is it possible that you will see the high schools or grade schools begin to adopt these same sort of self-paced learning programs? Any interest on that front yet?
Well, yes, actually, particularly for supplemental instruction and extra resources that teachers can draw on. A lot of schools are already doing this in math instruction because there's so much what educators call the scaffold of learning with math. I mean, you need to get the foundational concepts right or you're going to be in a world of pain 3 weeks later when the more advanced concept is covered and you don't understand the basic underlying concept. At UWM, we're doing something similar with a program called ALEX for our developmental math program and seeing great success in that. I think UPACE and other self-paced, mastery-based approaches are one of the things that is really transforming higher education.
We haven't talked about it yet, but I do want to come back and reference another program that UWM is involved in, and that is the Flex Degree Program. Let's give a quick synopsis of that, Laura, and then we'll talk
sure.
about the relationship to online learning.
Sure. The UW Flexible Option is a program that started enrolling students in January of 2014. There's been a tremendous amount of press coverage, both locally within the state and nationally, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. And it's a program, there are some similarities with UPACE. It is self-paced. It's mastery learning. What's different about Flex is that it's a start anywhere type of program. You can start the second of every month. It's designed for maximum flexibility, and it's also designed with that 700,000 population of students who have some college but no degree and who bring some relevant professional knowledge to the table. They've been out there working, and they have some knowledge assets, and so there are assessments. It's based on our existing UWM curriculum, but it's adapted for self-paced learning. And so, for example, in our Bachelor's of Science in Information Science and Technology, the faculty developed a series of assessments that map to the student learning outcomes for the program, same as the campus-based program. Students can take those assessments and they can advance to their degree quicker because they might upon enrollment be working already as a computer security specialist, and they've already got some of these knowledge assets, so they can test out and increase their pace to degree. Similar to UPACE, there's also a very strong academic support component. There are academic success coaches that really focus on supporting students and making sure they have the resources they need. And we also have excellent support from the UWM libraries, which has created a really amazing array of information resources for all the Flex students. And students who want to know more about Flex should visit the website, which is flex.wisconsin.edu for more information.
Wow, great stuff. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but a fascinating conversation. Not only about Flex and a lot more we can talk about that, but on that front, but the UPACE program and the online learning. We encourage listeners to check both out at uwm.edu. Laura Pedrick, who directs the online program at UWM Online Learning, and Diane Reddy, professor of psychology and the head of our UPACE self-paced learning program, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.